I'm very pleased to welcome to Fremantle Shipping News, PJ Yates.
Thanks, Michael. Really lovely to be here with you.
Well, I was very intrigued, PJ, when I was looking down the list of people standing. People had names like Melanie and Mark and Nick and all sorts of names. Yeah. And this one has PJ. And I thought, oh, that's a very interesting first name.
Yeah, since I was very, very young in my family, I've been known as PJ. And in my general friendship group in Frio, most people know me as PJ. In my professional life, it stands for Peter James, and I'm not fussy about it at all. But most people in the community know me as PJ.
Well, most people in the community, like me today, also want to know, PJ, why are you running in the North Ward?
Yeah, thank you. There's probably two reasons, I would say. The first thing has to do with change that's coming down the pipeline. I think whether for Fremantle as a whole, but in particular the North Ward, whether you're looking at the bridge transition over the next 18 months or the future of Frio plans out over the next couple of decades, the North Ward is at the heart of a lot of that change that's happening. And I think as a community, we have a couple of ways that we can respond to that. Either one, we can let other people make decisions around how that change happens, or as a community, and I think this reflects how we've always operated, is that we can be proactive in shaping that change so that it reflects the values and interests of our community. So for me, getting to stand up and be an elected representative to put a voice to that shaping of that change is what I'm particularly keen about. The second thing would be that I think I've got a skill set that I can add some value. So
I wanted to ask you about that. I'm always interested in what not only motivates people but how they got the bug.
Yeah.
But also, what you call the skill set.
Yeah. Well, for me, this would be a continuation of the work that I already do in the community, whether that's as a PNC president over the last couple of years at the local primary school, whether it's coaching every single one of my kids' sports teams that's kept me very busy over the weekends over the last couple of years, or convening the community around traffic calming efforts in the lead up to the bridge closure. For me, that community work is really important, and the council would be a continuation of that. But in terms of my professional life, I've worked in the international aid and development sector for most of that time. And most of that work has been around working on community development projects across South and Southeast Asia, finding ways that you can get citizens to aggregate their interests and advocate, particularly local government, but government at all levels, to be responsive to their needs and how they want to see their community serviced in terms of service delivery, but also the kind of arts and cultural support that they want to see from their government has been really important and at the heart of what I've done across the region. But I've also taken a couple of times out from my career to apply those expertise to our federal parliament. So I've been lucky enough to be an advisor in the federal parliament. And for that, it's given me a really good insight as to how the different levels of government work, how you navigate and achieve positive policy outcomes through those different levels, how you achieve funding for things that matter to our community.
It's an interesting place, Fremantle, as you and I know, and people are interested in just about everything. International delivery of aid, I think, is probably amongst the list. People get pretty antsy here about what's going on with AUKUS, people who don't like it. In fact, Barry Healy, who writes a piece as a committed Marxist called Seeing Red on the Shipping News, he thinks this election in Fremantle should be all about AUKUS. I mean, how do you respond to something like that?
I'm running on a platform of connecting the community. And for me, that has a couple of key elements that I'm really focusing and spending my time on. So first of all, that means the community having an elected representative that's a really effective conduit that connects the community in a timely way to the right people in terms of who's making decisions and who's got access to grant opportunities and so on. The second element of that connected community is caring about how we get around our city, the physical ways that we navigate that. So particularly passionate about pedestrian and cycle ways. I've been advocating for those for a long time, along with green spaces. And then the third element is what makes Frio an amazing place to live, and I certainly feel lucky that we get to live here, is our arts and cultural our community groups, are our sporting groups. These are the hubs that make our community so strong. And, you know, council doesn't have a whole bunch of levers to pull on national decisions around AUKUS, for example, but we do get to have funding that can support our thriving community groups, and that's certainly something I'm keen to advocate for. That's not to say that I don't think that council has a place to talk about those larger issues. We've seen council take positions on a whole number of positions, but for me, and what this campaign is about, it's not only about those local issues for Frio, but in particular for the North Ward. I think the North Ward is sometimes underdone because it sits on both sides of the river, and I really want to be a strong advocate for that community in particular.
I can never get my head around what the river does to the electorates, whether it's the federal curtain or whether it's the state, or whether it's North Ward, as it's now called, under the current setup. What are the issues for people? Do they differ depending on which side of the Derbal-Yerrigan you're on?
Yeah, I think they do to a degree. So obviously the North Ward is now made up of North Fremantle, a strong community that has its own strong identity. And then on the south side of the river, we have the Frank Gibson precinct, we have the Horry Long precinct, and we have the Knutsford precinct as well. North Frio is an incredible community. I've been lucky to live on both sides of the ward, both sides of the river. And for North Frio, it's a community that at the moment is particularly responding to the challenges that we're already seeing coming down the pipeline with the upcoming closure of the bridge. I think there's a significant amount of development going on, whether we're talking about McCabe Street or the Brack Street developments. We've just been going through the consultations on the North Fremantle City Plan, which is a really important one, asking big questions about the east-west access from river to the sea in terms of where the train station should best be positioned into the future. All of these things matter to both the people living there and also the really vibrant small businesses that we have in North Frio. South of the river, there's also a whole bunch. The Frank Gibson precinct is a fantastic community that's already been affected by the upgrades to High Street in particular. You know, they've lived through that significant change that's happened there, the big roundabout at the intersection with Stirling Highway. And there's lots of really nice things about that as a little enclave and the identity that's developed up around the netball courts, but also can sometimes feel like they're a little bit isolated and left out from considerations on council. The Knutsford precinct is an amazing dynamic precinct, right, where there's an increasing amount of residential that's going on, intersecting with incredible industrial arts community that's there as well. And so navigating that, everything down from, you know, where pathways and pedestrian access are being slowly built into that community to connect it where it wasn't there before, because it was primarily industrial, are priorities of that community. Across both the whole ward, one of the things that's really concerning is around the impact of traffic with the bridge closures. So traffic calming, avoiding rat runs, is a really big issue currently that I've been advocating for before nominating for council, and will continue to do as we experience the transition.
Yeah, well, I don't think anyone's even yet fully appreciated, particularly in the offices in the city who have responsibility for these things, just what it's going to do to free over the 18-month period you're talking about. I mean, officially 12-month closure, but before, after everything, and everyone's working their rat runs out, as you say, and you can't send everyone away from Fremantle for that period of time. But let me bring you back to the question of, yes, the arts, Fremantle, people mention that. We all want to support it. People come here because of it. It's built a reputation over many years, decades, when it was a place that parents didn't want to see their young muso kids going to live, that sort of thing. But it's become gentrified. If you can find a place to buy in Fremantle anywhere, good luck to you. If you want to rent something, even tougher. Are there things that the local government, the City of Fremantle, can do which would sort of retain and build upon that reputation, particularly in the arts?
Yeah, I think one of the lessons that I've learned from my career working with a lot of civil society organisations across all different spectrums of thematic areas is that there's this question of, yes, it's helpful to have one-off grants for particular events or initiatives or, you know, fixed infrastructure things. But the other thing that's really important is opportunities to have longer term core grant fundings, investments in, you know, when it comes to the arts, either art groups or individuals who have long term initiatives, things that allow them to have spaces to work in, opportunities that the council has supported in the past and continue to do. But for me, looking at that range and the different levers of financial support that can be offered for one-off events, great, but also longer term funding that provides assurance for people to be able to live and work and operate in the arts within our Fremantle community, I think is really important and should be continued to be looked at.
The North Fremantle Community Association have been big movers for many years and very much engaged in what happens north of the port, the new future of Fremantle area. There are some people who unwilling, I think is a fair word to use, see the port, the industrial port, the container port, go south to Westport, Kwinana. Do you have any views about that?
I think the timeframes that we're talking about there with the future of Fremantle is decades, and I certainly don't suggest that I've got the technical skills to suggest whether that, you know, happens in 5, 10, 20 or 30 years. What I do think matters is that we deal with any change like that sensitively and with the community at the centre of it. So, you know, the future of Fremantle, our document at the moment has 40,000 people, about the same size as the city of Fremantle as a whole, moving into that port area into the future. Now, if that was to happen, we should be starting to think now about what a transition looks like and how we preserve all the good things that make Fremantle what it is, so that any change that does happen, happens sensitively.
It really is fascinating, isn't it? The Fremantle Shipping News has been covering that for some time, had a public meeting downstairs here, good number of North Fremantle people there, and you're right, it's difficult to know what the time frame is. If it happens in 30 years, PJ, I don't think I'll be here, but you know, 20 maybe, certainly I'm expecting things will be happening if it's going to happen in the late 30s. It sort of begs other questions for me. Is there something generally, do you think, you're of an age where you can look and think about it, you're engaged in the community, where there's some new wave of something going through Fremantle? Are we approaching something epochal?
I mean, I would say the consistent thing about Fremantle as a physical space, as a city, but also as a community, is that the actual constant is change. You know, you think about how Fremantle's changed over the years. So the idea of capturing Fremantle at any one point in time and trying to preserve that, I don't think reflects the history of Fremantle itself and what makes Fremantle good. So when it comes to this question of, is there some major event happening or some epochal kind of event, that's not how I understand Fremantle and what makes Fremantle great. What makes Fremantle great are the people that are here, the connections that exist individually across our community groups and beyond. And at a council level, that's one of the reasons I want to be involved in at the local level of government, is because we get to support that and nourish it and, yes, protect what's good about Fremantle, but also be part of affecting that positive change that comes whether we like it or not.
People make communities.
People absolutely make communities. So when I'm talking about connecting communities, I'm fundamentally talking about connecting people.
Now, we're getting towards the end. We could talk for another day, I suspect, with you, PJ, and I don't want to get diverted to all these other wondrous things you might have done. But if you're elected and you're out there door knocking, I'm sure, and someone bails you up and says, well, PJ, what are you going to do? What's going to happen in your first 100 days? It's not quite a chief executive officer thing. But what three or four or five things would you like to see achieved in your first term?
Yeah. Well, like I said before I get to the what, I want to be about the how. So I want to be that proactive conduit between people when they have an issue and council. I think that's the most important thing that people can get if I was to be elected. Secondly, it's pursuing those things. So pursuing the physical connections that make it, you know, one of the really basic things is that we've got those underpasses under Stirling Highway and High Street that pedestrians and cyclists use every day. I want to see mirrors on those things. People come fanging around them. And so mirrors on those underpasses is one really simple symbolic exercise, example of what I want to achieve in that connecting us physically in safer ways. When it comes to art and culture, we've got incredible events coming up, and I want to be a part of a council that continues to promote those, having a pipeline of incredible events that come up, and I'll be an active voice in supporting those in council deliberations.
Well, I have with a couple of candidates said, are you up if elected to the long council meetings late at night, fitting it in with everything else?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm a problem solver. I'm a consumer of information. I've heard about the large briefing packs that are required to get through. I mean, I thrive on that. I love problem solving. I think there's a reason to get up and be excited about decision making. I'm a bit of a democracy nerd, a bit of a governance nerd. That's why I do the work that I do in my professional life, and I'm keen to participate in that at our council level.
Well, PJ, it's been lovely meeting you. Thanks for coming along and telling us a little bit about your vision and why you're standing.
Thanks, Michael. I mean, just to say thank you for all the work that you do on Fremantle Shipping News. Having local community news is an incredible service that you provide to us, and I'm a big fan. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. See you later then.